Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 291. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Miguel Kaplan.
Ooh, you can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. Follow. I'm putting out new stand-up comedy videos every single week, and now viral reactions videos from my wife, which people see. That seems to be very popular. She's reacting to the stand-up clips that are about her, and the world. America seems to love it. I think the world.
It's like equal time rules. People, when you give one candy, gets to speak, you got to give the other candy. That's the rules. The FCC.
Yeah.
So you get around the FCC rules on Instagram. It's very fair.
You get a rebuttal. She gets to rebut.
She gets to rebut.
Whatever I'm saying. And there's already people saying she's funnier than me, which is a little depressing. So
you should get a counter. What do they call it in legal terms? You get another reaction to her reaction.
Just keep doing this. You'll do one video forever, doing reactions like a Russian doll.
I'll never have to do any new material ever again.
Just keep pulling them out. That's Kaplan, everybody. You can find Kaplan at Kaplan America on all social media platforms. But if you're in the market for real estate in New York City specifically, but anywhere in the United States, or maybe Spain.
Anywhere in the world. I'm going to help our guests get a place in Spain.
He's going to get you a place in Spain. Go follow him at Cap in NYC. That's where he is. Michael Kaplan over here.
Mike Kaplan. I go Mike Kaplan.
Oh, go Mike Kaplan over there. All right, Cap on the
show. It's got more power. Mike Kaplan.
We have Jaime Ferraro coming back. We're talking about Peru.
Return guest.
There is a change in government over there, to put it lightly. There was a failed coup attempt. We're going to talk about that. And a swing and a miss. A guy wanted to become a dictator. It didn't work out.
And it's not as easy as they say on the television, becoming a dictator.
Listen, you got to put in the work. People try all the time. You only hear about the ones that succeed. You never hear about the ones that just
Let's just say it. You know, some dictators are just, maybe Hitler's more successful than
maybe he is.
This was just way too dumb for him to succeed. It was so stupidly done.
Coming up in just a minute. That's Jaime. We're gonna get to Jaime in just a second. Yeah. Before we get to Jaime, you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. We'll give you extra episodes. Me and Kaplan do our full throttle comedy podcast live from the bunker, which we're putting out on Instagram. Follow our show on Instagram. Sorry, I didn't say that as well. Go to @lostinamericapod on Instagram. New clips all the time. And patreon.com/lostinamerica. $5 a month.
$5.
Get to that extra show. We're doing it as often as possible. We're in the middle of final editing for the TV pilot we created based off of this podcast. We went to El Salvador over the summer and learned what it's like to live in a country where Bitcoin is your currency. We hung out with all the comedians, the whole comedy scene down in El Salvador. I did a stand-up show with them at their local club. And that is now, we're currently at 49 minutes. I think we're going to get it down to about 40 to 45, somewhere in that range.
Yes, 43, 44.
Yeah. And then we're heading out on the festival circuit. We're throwing it out to, I'm not going to say which ones, but we're throwing it out to festivals. We're throwing it out to TV networks, the big execs. We're going to have a lot of meetings. Kaplan is
But if you're a Patreon, if you're a subscriber, you get to see it first, right? Or you get all this
information.
That's
what I was getting to. If you sign up now for Patreon, .com/LostInAmerica. We're going to do a private screening. I'm going to say in February, Kaplan, because I'm going to be on the road a lot in January. Perfect. So sometime early mid February, we'll do a private screening only for Patreon subscribers. You get to see it first. How about that?
And this sounds like the perfect holiday gift. I mean, if you don't, people in your life, you don't know what, don't get them a gift card to Amazon or some boring thing. No. Get them a Patreon membership. Or if you don't know what to get me or Turner for the holidays, become a Patreon subscriber. You're supporting us. Yeah. There you go.
Subscribe. Either way. I know idea, you were going to get Ruby Kaplan a pony or something. Don't do that. Subscribe.
He's now a Patreon. I should give her the $20 membership so she could do an ad once a month on this show.
That's a good idea. For $20 a month, you get your own ad on this show. All right, Kaplan. I don't know if that was coherent enough, but people get it. Now, moving on, Cap, what do you know about what's going on in Peru? As we said, they have a president, Castillo, and this is past tense. About a week ago, he tried to do a coup. He tried to do an old fashioned take over the government, take over the country. And it didn't work. Go ahead, Cap.
It didn't take. They don't always take. Yeah, I read somewhere that they said he woke up, he had breakfast as the president. At lunch, he was a dictator. And by dinner, he was a detainee. He was in jail. So he had a busy day. That's a full day. Let's just start with that. He basically was under investigation for being, they were trying to impeach him in Congress, I believe. And his solution was to just declare Congress doesn't exist anymore. I'm supreme leader.
Yes.
Just get on TV and say, I'm in charge now. With new rules. And then apparently within a few hours, it didn't work and he was on the run and he ended up in jail by nighttime.
By dinner time, he was in jail.
It was a busy day, in life.
Can I more tell than I did you, that Cap, day. I watched the video. So what he did is he kind of took over the television networks, very, dictator style. Like,
he interrupted the Price is Right or whatever. He
interrupted your current programming from the seat of the president to declare, good news, I'm now the dictator. Right.
Like when Obama said we killed Osama bin Laden, that type of thing.
Program. But the issue, and here's where I think he lost everybody, is he's very nervous in the video.
Want a nervous dictator.
Hitler was never nervous. Pol Pot was never nervous.
As Kanye would say, Hitler was never nervous.
Pol Pot was never nervous. Fidel Castro was never nervous. The big ones.
I would be a bad dictator. I get nervous too frequently.
I'd be a better
dictator. Get confidence.
Yeah. I'd be a better dictator. So in the video of him, and maybe Jaime has seen this, in the video of him declaring that he's now the new dictator, he's holding a piece of paper. Like, he doesn't have a teleprompter, I guess. I don't know why.
Right.
So he's holding a piece of paper, reading his notes. And you think you could memorize, I'm the new dictator.
You think he's been waiting his whole life for this moment. Damn speech.
He couldn't remember the words. So he has to read it off a piece of paper. And the paper's shaking. He's shaking.
God.
It's like, I'm everybody. Hello. I'm going to be the new dictator. I'm the new dictator. And I'm out. If my dictator's stuttering, if he's, he's getting water, his mouth goes dry. That's not my dictator.
That's a great point. I think that from there, it was over. I'm sure his advisors, dictators have advisors, right? They're in the back like, oh my God, we should rehearse this one more time. We should get him a drink beforehand.
Live? They're going, this isn't live, isn't it? They go, no bad news.
Can we cut the feed? We're dictators. Yeah, can we just cut the feed?
So he got kicked out immediately.
Within a few hours,
by the Congress. And then we'll bring in Jaime after this. Now the new president of the country, she was the vice president, is a woman. How about that?
Yeah, we buried the lead. They broke a glass ceiling. We didn't even announce that.
They brought in a woman, everybody. Jaime Ferraro, everybody, he is a Peruvian comedian. We've had him on multiple times in the past. Go listen to all those episodes. He's great. He's recently moved to Spain, España, as we call it over there. And I don't know if he's in Barcelona or Madrid or what part of the world he's in. We'll find out in just a minute. But everybody, Jaime is hilarious. follow him, subscribe to his YouTube channel, his Instagram, his TikTok. He puts out new videos all the time. Jaime Ferraro, spelled just like it sounds. Welcome to the show. Jaime, how'd we do? What did we get right? What did we get wrong?
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back, guys. I've been laughing hysterically while you speak, because even though you present the situation as very outrageous,
yeah,
it's nothing in comparison to reality. It's like, we should do a small previously on.
Yes, let's give the background.
Because there's been like five presidents since, like four presidents since the last time we spoke, I think, or maybe three, because we spoke when they overthrew Vizcarra. Then we spoke when when this guy won.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. Yeah. And I remember you gave it 6 months at the time. You said if he makes it more than 6 months, it'll be a success when he won.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And he almost made it a success. Year and a half. He always made it for a year and a half.
Yeah, the first time we spoke was maybe 2 years ago, two or three at most. Yeah.
Yeah, like 2 years ago in November. That's the moment where it's funny, because what happened then was kind of like what this guy was trying to do now. So basically at that point, we had... they had overthrown the president because of a corruption accusations, but they were very thin, that this was Kuczynski, okay? And then Vizcarra came as a vice president. Kuczynski had basically been overthrown because he had a lot of enemies. And even though he had done some shady stuff, mm-hmm. it was nothing compared to what came after him. So... Vizcarra stepped up, and he was president for a while, and he started fighting with Congress, because basically Congress in Peru is packed with mafia groups, mobs. Like, it's not like you have political parties, and this is not a euphemism. I mean, I'm not saying like mafia groups or like crooks, just to exaggerate what they are. That's
these are literal mobs
actually are. So yeah. And, yeah. And so Vizcarra got in a fight with them. Vizcarra got in a fight with them. So they overthrew him when we were in the middle of the pandemic. After a while, we found out that Vizcarra had vaccinated himself in secret. So that's like...
We talked about that on the air, didn't we?
Uh-huh. And then we had this election where we had Fujimori's daughter against this guy who came from out of nowhere, basically, and had no intention of winning. This guy was put there by the leader of his party in order to get a few people into Congress, just like to get a small percentage, you know, in the election, put some people into Congress. And that was about it. The thing is that he went to the second round, what we first two candidates, when you don't get more than 45% of the votes, you go, the first and the second go to a second round. Mm-hmm. And both of the candidates that went to the second round, they didn't even have 15% of the votes. So most people did not vote for them. But when they were forced to choose, they had the daughter of the previous dictator and this guy who came out of nowhere. And he would say things during the campaign like, you like the Supreme Court, and people at the squares, right, in many small towns, and people would scream, no, no, we don't like the Supreme Court. So it's like, OK, I'll cancel the Supreme Court. You do it.
He's like taking a poll. Yeah.
And then he'd say, like, we were going to be a communist country, and he was going to he started saying so many things that they were obviously not true. I mean, only like the most paranoid people believed that he was going to do that, like come and take your house and stuff. But that's what he was saying at some point, and people around him as well. So people got very scared. Many people voted for the daughter of the dictator, Keiko Fujimori.
Who actually did have a coup, right? Her father at some point.
Yeah, he did in 92. Exactly what this happened. Yeah, he did exactly what this guy tried to do as well, because this would be the third time in our history that this happens. It's just that this last time it didn't go through. It didn't stick. And it was obvious it was not going to happen. I mean, that same day, my cousin called, and she said, like, I was going to go to the beach, like out of town, and I don't know if I should go because all of this is happening. And they said,
there's a coup going on.
Yeah. And I was like, you go, you just go to the beach. This guy's going to be in jail by 7 p.m. And he was in,
don't ruin your beach day. Yeah, it sounds perfect. The waves are great.
Yeah. And he was in jail by like six, I think like at 3 p.m. he was in jail, and the new president was taking the that she was being sworn in. So what happened basically is that as soon as he got into power, he started naming like the worst secretaries. He changed like secretaries of different areas, right, of the government. We've had, I think, like around 70 in like a year and a half.
I guess cabinet.
Yeah, in his cabinet. So he's changed the cabinet.
He's hiring and firing and hiring and firing and hiring and firing.
Exactly. Because he would hire like, this is insane, but people who were close to him would say that if he liked you and you were there on that afternoon, then you could be secretary of something the next day.
Sounds
right.
Familiar.
Because he knew no one. It's just like, and he's very much like Trump in so many ways. People for right wing people in Peru don't like to hear that comparison because some of them do like Trump and they really hate this guy. But they were the same because like every Sunday night we would see on the political shows the proofs of his corruption. His wife was giving money to people. His daughter-in-law was with a vest of the company promising public, how you say this, Given construction contracts out, wearing the vest of the company, like the daughter of the president, saying like, "Yeah, we're gonna do that." And so, there were so many proofs of the corruption, and he would just go out on TV and say like, "Where's the proof? Show me the proof." And it's like, "This is the proof." And it's like, "That's all hearsay. Those are all lies." And it's just like we have the bank statements from your wife. This is so we can see how she moved the money around. It's just like, where's the proof? This is all lies. But the thing is that country got so polarized and so many people were with him because of what he represented. He was like the guy from the, you know, like the country really, he was, he would work the field. He would really do that. And he was this teacher. He couldn't even speak very clearly. I mean, you wouldn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah, what kind of teacher was he? He must have been a terrible school teacher.
Yeah, he was. He was because when you
shaky hands, Turner.
He was more into the syndicate than into the classroom because basically he was like a leader and
a union leader.
Yeah, union leader.
Yeah, and see, I said this last time too. Don't trust teacher union leaders. So
yeah, because when they would go and see for what his teaching history was all about, you would see that he was like he wasn't teaching for years. Like maybe he taught like I don't know, maybe 3 years or something like that. I might be exaggerating, but he was basically into the union. So
everyone. Just to pause for a second, if you read the international news about him, they call him a rural, poor school teacher.
Yeah.
With no history in politics. He's never held a political office before he became president of the country.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying he wasn't even totally a school teacher either.
No, I mean, he was because that was his title.
Yeah.
Right. But he would never. It's just that's how he presented himself.
Branding. Right? Good branding.
Yeah. He was very good. And the thing is that since we have such a polarized country and you have such big inequalities, if you get to represent this symbol in the proper way, you'll win. Especially if you have this other woman against you, right? Because people, it's just like at this time, anyone could beat her. She's lost the last three elections, and our last three presidents have basically become president because they were running against her.
Because they're running against the former dictator's daughter.
Exactly. So it's basically if she keeps running, the other guy's going to win. That's
why
she should become like a political advisor. It's just like I'll run against you, and they'll make you president.
Why does her own party let her run? Like, wouldn't you want someone else running if you know this person's just going to keep losing every time?
Because it's actually not a party. It's a mafia group that is built around the figure of her father.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So mafia should find a new person.
Yeah.
I mean,
no one else could run because she's the only one that could remind people of what her father was. And her father
sounds
was
like Fredo to me. They need a
yeah. And she has a brother that would be Fred.
Yeah. Do they have a Michael? Oh, but
she's more like a Michael. She's Kaplan, more like a Michael.
Michael went to Lost.
It sounds more like a maybe like, well, yeah. Okay.
Michael. Maybe Santino Corleone.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, maybe that. Yeah, so, and so, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, and that, so that's why he won. The thing is that once he was a president, he was this rural teacher, and you could like show him like that, and that was a very powerful image, you know. So they did that for a while, but the accusations and the evidence of corruption began like even before he got into power. The other side, the right-wing side, started claiming fraud, just like Trump did, without any proof. And that actually hurt us a lot, because he would use that as an excuse to say, they're trying to get me off power. They're claiming that I won through a fraud, and that is a lie. And that was a lie. There was no fraud. I mean, this guy couldn't even do this. I mean, it was impossible
for him to do fraud.
Like a nationwide fraud that no one would be able to catch him. Like,
yeah.
It's like...
So he won in 2021, a year and a half ago, whenever that was, mm-hmm. he won by, there's 18 million people in the country. Is that right? Or were there 18 million 30, votes?
33 million people.
Okay, 18 million people voted, and he won by 50,000 votes. So it was really close.
It was, yeah.
But it wasn't fraud. And Keiko Fujimori was saying fraud, which is like, at this point, it's like a hack bit. To claim
exactly,
fraud
and we all knew she was going to do it. She did it when she lost 5 years prior to that. But the thing is that she lost to a candidate that was very popular and people liked, and he was right wing, so no one paid attention when she claimed fraud 5 years ago as well.
Yeah,
but it was obviously if she was going to do it.
So this guy Pedro Castillo is we'll name him here. It's interesting. Yeah. So he's like a far left wing communist. But also, well, dictator. I mean, that goes hand in hand sometimes.
That's how he would present himself. Aspiring dictator.
Yes.
Yeah. And also aspiring left-wing politician. Because if you ask him, not only that he did nothing related to left-wing policies in the time he was in office, but also he's very conservative. He's a religious guy. So he's like the old left-wing. But if you would get into a conversation with him and ask him about like left-wing ideas, he knows nothing. I mean, he's just like, he would present himself as left-wing because he was a poor guy from like... the fields and, you know, the Andes. So that's what suits him, basically.
So
the brands
to be able to have a successful coup like Fujimori did. The basics are that you need the support of the military.
Yes.
Number one, because you need the military to be your enforcers to go put everything in. You probably need to take over the media and imprison some journalists. And then you also need somewhat of the support in the cabinet, in your own cabinet, in the Congress and all that stuff. So usually what you would do is, in advance of totally becoming a dictator, you would put all your own people in to all these positions that you know will support you when you plan it out. Let's go one by one. Like, did Pedro Castillo, it seems like he did not have the support of the military. Is that correct?
He had the support of no one. He had like the support of his immediate family and like two cabinet members. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, that's the thing.
I mean,
and some people support him in contrast of what they believe has overthrown him. Basically, there's a lot of people in the streets right now protesting, but it's not like they want him back. It's just that they don't want the other side to win, because the thing is that as soon as he stepped into power, people started trying to take him out of power. Okay. So right wing parties started working out the way to take him out of power. And there were a lot of ways to do it. Basically, you could change the constitution through Congress and find a way of investigating him while he's in power. Because in Peru, the constitution says a president cannot be accused of a crime while he's in power. I mean, you can investigate him, but you cannot do a formal accusation. You have to wait until he finishes. And we don't have the figure of impeachment. We're trying to get that into the Constitution right now. The only thing you can do with a president is declare that he's morally incapable. That's like incapacidad moral is the exact translation. But that was reading in the Constitution at a time when moral incapacity was considered to be like madness, or like if you have an accident and you cannot be like within your senses to rule, you know,
you literally went crazy, or you're on so many drugs to keep you alive that you can't think.
Exactly. But because otherwise, like, moral incapacity would be so subjective that if you think like, oh, this guy, I don't know, cheated on his wife, we could, you know? So that they like, well, like Clinton, right? They try to impeach him because of something like that, right?
But I mean, yeah, with a fat chick, that was morally incapacitated. No.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And
so clearly, lack of judgment.
Yeah. And the thing is that they were, like with so much power.
I mean, so much power, get anybody wrong.
Yeah. Well. That's what he did. That's what he chose. And the thing is that
I know.
This guy, they were trying to take him out of power because through this mechanism, which was not really constitutional. So if they would do that, it's just because they don't like him. And they were trying to do that. They had, we have a lot of evidence of corruption. I mean, it was clear that the guy was a crook and he was just favoring. The thing is that he was like a really small time crook. I mean, the amounts of money that he has been accused of getting is nothing compared to what prior presidents have stolen. This guy is like
he's not even a good crook. Terrible dictator.
He's not good at anything.
Yeah, terrible crook. Yeah, he's gonna go
his
to
wife
jail
must
for
hate like, him must complain about him constantly.
He's gonna go worst. To jail for a long time, and he's not even gonna come out the other way a millionaire like the other guys did.
I mean,
because the other guys,
he's
I mean,
never gonna hear the end of it from his wife.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And well, and so people were trying to overthrow him, and he was just like constantly fighting. But what he did is that he started giving congressmen, he would favor them for them to build stuff in their own regions and provinces, so they would become popular there. And then if they try to vacate him overthrow him, they would vote against that. And there was this small group of congressmen that they were called Los Niños, the children, because someone overheard him referring to them as, you got to keep the children happy. So those were known as Los Niños. So basically for a while now, we all knew that everybody wanted him out of power, but they couldn't overthrow him because he had these people that they were bought by him.
Well, in his defense, though, he's used to teaching children. So maybe that's just
exactly.
Like how he talks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like children of the future, education. Yeah. Maybe it's actually, but I understand there's
and you're saying there's a terrible teacher to them too. So.
But there's no impeachment, because I thought we read that they were trying to impeach him. What were they trying to do then?
I mean, that would be the translation. But basically, they would be trying to overthrow him through the moral incapacity charges.
Got it.
They say like he's stealing so much money that he's morally incapable of being the president.
So what went wrong? Like, how did he become president for 18 months and not get the military on his side?
Well, basically, the military has, in South America, the military has a history of like intervening in this kind of situations. But for a while, they've taken a step back for a while. I mean, the military has like said many times that they were just going to follow the constitutional laws and stuff like that. And they haven't intervened for a long while. The last time was in 1992 when Fujimori closed the Congress. And then the military was with him. But at that time, we were in the middle of a war with terrorists. So military and the president were really close together because were working together. So and most people, like at this time, they would disapprove Castillo, but they would also disapprove Congress. At that moment when Fujimori did it, Fujimori had a very high approval. Castillo had like less than 20% approval.
You have to have higher approval rating to have a...
Exactly, because you need the people to back you up in the streets.
At least in the beginning. Later on, who cares? But at first...
Yeah, in the beginning, every dictator was popular. His people could claim otherwise, but...
they always start popularly. Because you need the people in the streets, you need the military. So Fujimori in 1992, was it 91 or 92, somewhere 92. Around there, he had the support of the country. So he's like, I'm going to be here forever. And they're like, great, that sounds great. you always wonder when you're in high school or junior in America and you're reading these textbooks and you're learning about how people become dictators. We were always kind of taught that no one liked them, but somehow they just took over. But that's not reality. Reality
no,
is
when he closed Congress. Yeah, when he closed Congress in 92, he was widely approved. I mean, that was many people. So, I mean, many people would go out and said, like, this is not right. This is unconstitutional. But the thing is that we were in a very deep economical crisis and also at war with terrorists. So whatever he did that gave people the feeling that something was being done, and then the situation improved dramatically after that. So
right, because he had a basic competence. Which sounds like Castilla didn't have either.
And
so you need
there's
to be
a second. There's a second element you just brought up: terrorists. There needs to be a fear of the outside that I'll protect you from those people.
And that's not the situation at all today, because Peruvian economy has been booming for like 30 years, and then we took a hit with the pandemic, but then we were recovering, and we have nothing related to terrorism now. Actually. Our big terrorist group began with teachers, and those teachers came out of some of the same unions that this guy belongs to. So there's a lot of like radical teachers around that. So he was actually like,
what do they do? These teachers,
I can tell you what they do. And down there, up here, you know, the kids shoot the teachers. Down there, the teachers shoot the kids.
<It's gone. laughs>
The teachers come into school with the guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need to arm the kids, is what you're saying.
These teachers were like radical communists, like back in the 90s, and but they would have like a discourse and speech. It's not like now that they would say like these guys are communists, and Castillo doesn't even know what communism is. I mean, like,
well, and he's clearly not a student of history. I mean,
he's not a good communist either. So you're telling me
listen to our pod? He would learn a lot. Is he a subscriber? Get him on Patreon.
Get him a Patreon.
He wouldn't understand it even if it was in Spanish. And
Who then? If he wasn't going to be impeached and he didn't have the military, like why did
let
he
me,
think he
let's
could get
hold
away with
that it? Question, Kev. That's a good question, but let's hold it because we got to take a break real quick. When we're going to find out why what led him to doing a coup when he had no one on his side, including history. But Cap, we're part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. That is us, Lost in America. That is the Political Orphanage with Andrew Heaton. That is the Majoring in Everything podcast with Dr. Andrea Jones Roy. Subscribe to all those shows at worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. All one word, spells just like it sounds. Kaplan.
Smells good too.
And it smells great. And now.
Smells like smart.
A word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors. Thank you, us, if we hear from us.
Yeah. I think that might have been us in the sponsorship. It's always good to throw it to us.
It's always good to hear. We don't want to give you a break too long from us.
Of us is what the audience needs. Now, Jaime, back to this story here. So if the guy knew he basically had nobody on his side, what led him to try to pull a coup?
When he wasn't going to be impeached anyway.
The thing is that for a while, people have been like a popular sentiment in our population was that everybody should go home. So it's like he should renounce, but then they should call for general elections again. Okay. And there's a way of doing that. Basically, if you remove the president and then you remove the vice president, the head of Congress steps into power and has to call for a general election within 6 months. That's how our constitution works. And the thing is that there's another mechanism which Vizcarra used is that when a president rises to power, they name a chief of staff, and that chief of staff presents a cabinet. So Congress needs to approve that cabinet. Okay. If Congress says no to a cabinet, he can reassemble a new cabinet, present it again. And if Congress says no again, then the president has a constitutional right to close Congress and call for a Congress election in a few months, because that would be like Congress wouldn't be allowing the person who was elected to govern. So it's like, bring me a new Congress. And people should, like you do with your midterms, choose what they want. Like if they elect the same people again, then they're backing those them. And if they choose someone else, then they're backing the president, right? Yep. So what he did was after Vizcarra did this, the Congress changed those rules, and they changed it in a way that is unconstitutional. But they made it a law, and that law has not been overthrown by the Supreme Court yet. So at this point, Castillo could not do that, because what Congress did was like, okay, Castillo can do this, but they cannot force us to approve anything that is related to what we do. So basically, they just limited that mechanism so Castillo couldn't do it. But he did it anyway. He presented a cabinet, and they said, like, no to this cabinet. And so he presented a new one, but the previous one wasn't refused. They just said, like, no, you cannot do that anymore. It's just, you're not playing by the rules. So they just ignored him. And he said, like, okay, this is strike one. But he wasn't backed up by the Supreme Court or anyone.
Yeah,
right.
Empty threat.
He himself and his cabinet considered that to be strike one, but no one else. And so people rejected Congress and himself at the same time. So what happened is that after a while, all the people surrounding him, imagine like Mike Pence, Rudolph Giuliani, Mike Pompeo, everyone that was surrounding Trump. Yeah, was surrounding Trump. Imagine if those guys, like 3 months later, would quit and say, like, yeah, this guy's corrupt. I did this, I did this, and I did this. And he sent me. So most of the people surrounding him already had gone out and said this about him. So basically what they did is they were going to vote vacancy, what we call it vacancy. There's like they were going to vote to overthrow him. Mm-hmm. Through the moral incapacity rule. But they had done this like 3 times already, and they just didn't have the votes. They would get like up to 60 votes, and you needed 87. But this guy had some people captive, so like in Congress, that they were never going to vote against him. And so this past week, they were going to vote that again. Everybody knew that they didn't have the votes. Everybody knew that this guy was a crook. And according to his advisors, they said, like, even to that same morning, he was just rehearsing what he was going to go and say in Congress and how he was going to defend himself, but nothing related to this closing of the Congress. And there's a guy who says, like, I was with him like up to 2 hours before the message. That's why he didn't have a teleprompter. That's why.
This is like when you see someone who goes on a shooting rampage and they testify his neighbors. Like, he was so quiet at home. He was normal.
He didn't have a teleprompter because it wasn't a planned thing.
Yeah. Nobody knew. He made that decision like a few hours before, very ill advised by two people.
Impulse decision.
Like this, he had this chief of staff for months and months. It was this very old lawyer guy. Very old, and he's losing his mind, and it's obvious. He would go out in public and started praising Hitler. Says like, no, Hitler is bad, but he would like build the greatest roads.
Oh, it's Kanye West's advisor.
Yeah, something like that.
He invented the microphone.
The good side of I just saw that bit like by Sam Morrill, like right before we
Sam Morrill. Kanye say that Hitler invented a microphone?
Kanye said that he invented this microphone I'm speaking to you out of, and built the highway. He invented the highways.
Yeah.
Also not true.
Yeah, Kanye said that.
So turn on the mics is apparently
an
homage.
Yeah, so basically it's just like he overthrew himself, basically, because he got out on TV, said this, and everyone was like, no, you cannot do that. I mean, it's like, this is not going to work, you know?
And
so Congress immediately voted the moral incapacity. And of course, now they did get the votes because they were going to be shut down.
Yeah.
And the thing is that after, a few years ago, vote, we changed that. We changed the constitution, and we made it that Congress representatives cannot be reelected. So these people that were in Congress, they really didn't want to go, because it's like you get a job for 5 years, and some of them move to to Lima, and they rent a place, they change their kids to another school, and you're supposed to make this amount of money through 5 years, and then it's like, no, you got to go after 1 year.
No, so right. this Pedro Castillo, not only did he misjudge the will of the public and the military, but he presented an option for Congress that if they voted to keep him in office, he was going to fire all of them. Is that right?
He just came straight out. I mean, he was going to get, they were going to vote to overthrow him, but they were not going to get the votes. And this was going to be the third time that this happened.
So if he would have done nothing, he would have been fine. Just sit there and wait for him to not get votes, because there's 130 votes and you need 87. So that's quite the majority you need.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting 100.
It's 120 votes and you need 87. So it's really hard. Yeah. And the thing is that, he just came out on TV and said this and no one could believe it. They say that someone had convinced him that they had the votes. But it's very stupid to think so, because that would have taken for a big group that put him into power to betray him. And the leader of that group would have come out like the night before and said, like, no, we're not going to vote for him to be overthrown. We don't care. Whatever he has done, I mean, he's still the president.
Well, I saw that when he made the speech, he was like, it was simultaneously they were holding a hearing where they had somebody testifying that they had bribed like six of his brothers, I guess, with six of the eight, it said. So two of the brothers are on the book. They don't take bribes, I guess. But with that's not the type of thing, though, that would have moved the needle. You're saying like he went, there was no reason to panic. That's going to be the thing, like, because bribery is just so run of the mill. Like
with him, I mean, there's like, he has eight open investigations from the district attorney,
which is the worst
right
of them
now. They're all basically all the same, and that's what I mean. I mean, this guy would come out and say like, "Yeah, Castillo asked me to give like his brothers an allowance." Okay, so every month I had to give them an allowance, and you know how much that allowance was for? It was like $2,000 for each one of them. That's what I mean. It's like
slow level crap.
It was all like petty cash thievery. So, so he came out and he said this. And now after that, people who would support him, people from this party that brought him into power, some of them are saying that he was drugged, that he said that he claims that he doesn't even remember what he said. But this is just plain stupid. And we found out that he refused to take the drug test. When he got arrested, they would, like, as protocol, they would do a drug test on you. And he refused. So even if he was drugged, he's the one who refused to get tested. So it just makes no sense. He didn't have a plan. I mean, basically, because as soon as they started voting in Congress to overthrow him, he got into his car and started going to the Mexico embassy, because the Mexican president loves him. And he was going to the Mexican embassy to try to get in there and ask for a political asylum. Refugee. Yeah, ask for asylum. And what you should do is you should tape the message. Then you go to the Mexican embassy and then you air the message. Not
you
like
air it when you're already in the embassy. You don't go live.
Exactly. So he aired it and he got out. And Peruvians love this, because what caught him was our traffic, which is chaotic. So
he got a bumper. Should check Waze.
Yeah. And it was his own security detail were the ones who arrested them. He said, like, take me to the Mexican embassy. And this is very funny, because the most posh people in Peru really hate him. Like, really, like, I've never seen anything like this.
Sure.
They really do hate him. There's a lot of racism involved as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, and the Mexican embassy is like three blocks away from my mom's house. And most of the people, they're like old white ladies, just came down and started blocking the street.
So they knew he was going in.
You're not gonna get away. Yeah, so he couldn't get away. But he was like kilometers away. I mean, he was arrested like way.
Now, how did the old ladies know that's where he was going?
Because they said, and then he might go to the Mexican or Cuban embassy. He had like those two choices.
I mean,
because
that's
those are the two left wing
yeah,
governments that could support him.
Yeah.
We should have made the speech, as you said, either from the embassy or from like literally right outside the embassy so he could get right in.
Yeah.
Or tape it. Yeah. And then air it.
But he didn't know. He didn't know. I mean, he didn't know this was going to happen.
He thought everyone loved it. Everyone would be on his side. He was like in Will Ferrell. He's like, we're going streaking. And like no one followed him.
It's like that Seinfeld when George quits his job and then he just shows up on Monday and pretends it never happened. Like, yeah. Realize what a mistake he made. I was just kidding. What are you talking about? Only president again.
That's his legal defense right now. That's what he's saying. He's claiming that it's like kind of like Trump. He says like, yeah, I said I was going to do this, but I didn't do it. I just said it.
I didn't actually do a coup. Nice. I just was talking out loud.
It's like, I tried to kill you, but I didn't kill you. So I missed. So it's not murder. Something like that.
So now you have this new president, Dina Boluarte.
Boluarte.
Boluarte. Yeah. And
she was the vice president before.
She was the vice president. I forget. I know we've talked about this before, but was she elected as his running mate or two separate elections?
Yeah. No, yeah, she was. The thing is that in Peru, they don't campaign like they do in the US. Like usually in the US, they campaign like with a formula, right? Like a president and a vice president. You go like Trump, Pence, right?
Yeah.
They don't do that here. Most people don't even know who the vice president is. When they vote. And but it doesn't matter. I mean, she was elected as well with them. I'm actually kind of happy that our first female president didn't get like elected in a general election, because this is way easier now. We don't have to. People, they used to argue that in favor of Keiko. So it's like, she's a woman. It's like, we don't care about that. She's corrupted.
Yeah,
anyway.
She's a child of a dictator, but she's a woman, and it's about time we have a woman. Yeah,
exactly. So now we have a woman, a female president. Perfect. Probably the first female president in jail eventually as well.
Yeah.
But
Is she going to pardon him or is she going to
No, not at all. She was already aligned with the opposition. It was obvious because they were trying to overthrow her before. So because everybody knew that this guy was going to be overthrown eventually. So Congress started doing was they tried to overthrow her first. So in that case, when Castillo got sent out, the president of Congress would assume power and they would remain for the five years, which is they're not allowed to, but they were going to try to do that. When they noticed that they were not going to be able to get away with that, they started trying to impeach her. And they started negotiating with her. And as soon as she stepped up, she said she was going to stay until 2026, which is the end of the term. But last night, she has already said that she was going to call for a general election in 2024. So
I saw that. So,
that's a little bit of better news. Because the country's on fire.
So she's going to stay two more years, even though she wasn't elected. But she could stay four more years. Is that because I do see there's people protesting around the country the fact that now she's in the president and she was never elected. And there's like the indigenous people are protesting the people who would have voted for Castillo, right? Pedro Castillo.
Yeah. That's a part of the people who are protesting, people who support Castillo. There's a lot of people who want to change and they want a new constitution. And people really want Congress to be shut down. I include myself within the people who want Congress to be shut down, but not the way Castillo tried to do it. What I believe is that they should like hold a general election and just go home. And we need to change the constitution and include midterm elections like you guys have.
Mm. So how long are your terms for the
5 years? Like 5 years? Same as the president, 5 years. Yeah, so you get elected and you get that Congress for the 5 years.
And who were the, I was going to say the vote was 101-6 to get Castillo out. Yeah. Who were the six who voted for him? Because they're basically saying they're going to, if they were right, they would have lost their jobs, right? So they're really good friends.
One of them is the guy that now claims Castillo was drugged.
Okay.
But these people, I mean, they're not really with him. They're just against the other people because they were backstabbing Castillo. They would do anything but vote against him. But they would go out and say, like, this guy's stupid. He's corrupted. This is like, so are you going to vote to overthrow him? No.
Yeah.
So a lot of people in the street, what they want now is for Congress to go as well. And I don't think they're going to stop until that happens.
Is your best case scenario that the president, this Dina Boluarte, that she has to go immediately for a new election?
She has called one for, I think it's going to be April 2024. I think it should be sooner than that. I don't know if the country's going to hold that long.
But
I want to make just like what you just said, best case scenario.
My
country is so messed up that this that we are living right now was the best case scenario I could imagine back in the last election.
Did he last right
the best scenario was a failed coup was the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Because to me, I didn't vote for Keiko or for this guy. So to me, it was like, I'm not going to vote for Keiko. And this guy probably won't last long.
Okay.
So maybe in a year and a half, like right now, I look at the presidency and there's no Castillo and no Keiko. And that's kind of what I went for. So,
got it. Okay, cool.
You know, so now we got to start building from this because it's still everything is still pretty messed up.
Let's get into you. You're now in Spain. You moved there 3 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the why move to Spain?
Yeah. Why would you leave Peru?
Well, actually, I didn't leave Peru. The thing is that I do like Peru doesn't have like a stand-up comedy circuit like you guys have. Mm-hmm. So basically, when I do shows in theaters, and I don't have the chance to go like to clubs and try out new stuff. That's very hard for me because there are not that many clubs. And if I do go to shows that are built by other comedians, then I have to sell the tickets. And so people come see me and I wouldn't be able to try out my stuff. So I would do like big shows every 4 months and try to try out new material like now and here and there. So I decided to move here and be like unknown comedian here and like be working out stuff all the time and go to Peru like every 4 months and do big shows there. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I chose Spain because my English is a little bit rusty. So I don't want to try that in English. It's hard for me.
Your English is great, but I know but you want to do your stand up. Keep your stand up in Spanish. That makes sense.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people from all around South America here in Spain. And the thing is that the over the pandemic, the internet has brought us all together. So a lot of people in Peru are watching Spanish comedians. And so a lot of people are becoming more and more popular through the web. So I'll still do my podcasts here and I still do the stuff I do over the social media. Actually, I make this joke that I ran away from the country because Castillo was a communist and so I had to leave. Yeah. So I made a statement the other day when he failed. So that's actually working pretty well with my audience as well. So yeah, I chose Spain because you have Spanish people here, but you also have people from Mexico, Venezuela, Colombia, Argentina. So yeah. And I know comedians from most of those places now.
And with the comedy scene in Spain, what city are you in?
Madrid.
You're in Madrid. Okay. And how often can you get on stage and do shows like we do, like the showcase shows like we do in America, like 10 minutes, 15 minutes to stand up? That kind of stuff.
I could do that here. Like if I really tried, I could do it like 3 or 4 times a week, I think.
That's great. Okay, cool. That's what you need. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's what I need. That's exactly what I need. And I've never had that. So a few weeks ago, because I started as a comedian in Peru, so I was moving around and I became very popular through the pandemic.
Yeah.
So when I came back out to the stage, I already had like a big audience. So
you've become popular since debuting on this podcast.
Yeah.
This podcast, one could argue, launched you.
Thanks to you. It happened at the same time.
Yeah.
Coincidence? I don't know.
I wanted to, like, because the first episode we did, I wanted to tag you in some video. So I went and looked up your Instagram tag, whatever it was. And then 6 months later, I tagged again and you had like 100,000 new followers. I'm like, whoa, what's going on over there? That's great.
Yeah. That's exactly.
And that's all we want out of this podcast. We don't want success for ourselves. We want it for our guests.
You want to
promote the guy behind the guy.
You want to promote the little comedians from South America. We appreciate it. Exactly.
I have a friend named Des Bishop. He's been on this podcast actually, and he does exactly what you're doing now. He's super popular in Ireland, but he lives in New York to put all his material together. but he mostly tours in Ireland, goes back and he'll do like big theaters and gigantic shows in Ireland or in like the UK, you know, in England and Scotland and stuff. But in New York, he's not very well known, but he can work out all his material and then go do it and then come back.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going back in February because Valentine's Day is a very big date for Amity. Basically, okay. If you put I sold out like two theaters, like on February the 12th and February 14th last year, because a lot of people just go out on dates. So any show you put out usually sells out. So
awesome.
I'm going to go back in February. I hope I have an apartment by now.
I can't believe people bring their dates. We've talked about this before, bring their dates to comedy shows. That's just amateur hour. Yeah. They all deserve to lose their girlfriends. To comedians.
Kaplan has a theory that he would never, if he was single or when he was younger and he was single, he would never bring a date to a comedy show because you want to be the funniest person on the date.
Exactly. And especially if you're a comedian. I mean, if you have, because if you're not funny at all, maybe you, I mean, if you're not going to make her laugh.
If you're not funny and they know you're not funny, that's kind of your thing. So I guess then it's okay. Right.
Yeah. Like, and then you'll have that guy make her laugh because you're not able to. But if you can make her laugh, you're not going to take her to see
her. He's
like
finding that spot for you. Yeah.
What about this? I mean, exactly. Andy Curtin, a friend of the podcast, well, a former friend of the podcast.
Ex-friend, yeah.
The way he met his wife is she went to the comedy club because another comedian invited her who was trying to, he was trying to date her. Yeah. So he invited her to the show. She decided she liked Andy better. Now they're married. He was just another guy on the show. It's
that
a real
dangerous
proposition. With fire.
Yeah,
you better be on that night if you're.
I think you had Danny Boy Rivera. I think you had Danny Boy in the show,
you
right?
Did have him on.
Yeah, I know. He's around here also. I mean, he's playing in this city as well. He's part of the. He's a pretty funny comedian, and I'm gonna go see him.
Are you gonna stay on his couch one night? Or
no, I don't think so. I hope to get him on my. I was gonna get him on my podcast right before I moved here, but I hope I can do it now that
we can connect you. As well. Do you know him? You already know him?
No, yeah, I know him.
Oh,
I know
good.
Him. I'm okay. gonna. Yeah, yeah. I'll send you the episode. Well, you won't get it. You guys gotta learn Spanish now. That since you're gonna bring the show to a.
I got a little. TV. I got. Listen, muy pequeño, Paquito. No. I know a little bit.
I read this line. I was going to try to say in the opening, ex president golpista. Is that Spanish for something? What does that mean again? I forgot what I wrote.
Golpe is when you do a coup, but actually a golpe.
Do a coup, yes. Golpista.
A hit. The thing is that the translation for coup is golpe de estado, which is like it's like saying. You took a hit. You hit the state, something like that. So you shook it, and that's golpista is the one who hits, basically.
I have two questions.
Yeah,
I'll
say coup.
I have two questions left, and then we're out of here. What? So Castillo now, because in America, I think that treason is punishable by death, right, Captain?
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, but it's bad one. But in Peru, we learned last time that they don't go to jail if their crime's under 4 years. So.
No, yeah, he's gonna get at least 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah, wow. He's gonna be accused.
So he's gonna go to jail.
Not treason, but in Spanish they call it. I think in English it's sedition. Sedición is in Spanish.
Oh, sedition. I guess it's the same. Well, they say the same.
Uh huh. Yeah. The thing is that we also have treason. You can be accused for betraying the country. Is that what we call it? Traición a la patria. And he was accused of that a few months ago by this very stupid opposition that he has. That they try to overthrow him, accusing him of betraying the country because in an interview, when he was asked if he would go, he would give Bolivia an opening towards the sea, because. Bolivia is not on the ocean, and they want to be, but they limit with Peru and Chile. And he said, I would give Bolivia an outing to the ocean, but you would have to give away Peruvian land to
yeah.
do that.
You can't just
yeah. What is he doing?
He'd say that like yeah.
Get we'll what kind of trade we'll is that? And, is he getting something in return?
But he didn't in this one he didn't do anything. He just said it in an interview.
Yeah.
And they were trying to accuse him of betraying the country because of that. So they're trying to do what he did now to pass as that same thing, but it's not the same because he called the chief of police and he said, "Go and arrest the district attorney." He wanted to do all that, like close the media, and he said like open up the barriers that are on the street so the protesters can get into Congress like they did on the Capitol.
Oh, he was encouraging January 6th, but wow. Like, literally,
yeah.
But it didn't actually
yeah, he did
it
that.
Take.
He
did need that. To have fans so, though. That's the thing. Trump had fans.
Yeah,
he got to. You can't have a riot without a people.
This guy has fans, but not that many.
Not that, yeah, so, not enough. He's not he needs many, to. Yeah. So he, again, as Turner said, if you don't give a good speech, you're not going to get rioters. You gotta,
yeah,
you gotta be
shaking
charismatic.
In the mouth, like
shaky hands. Is yeah. If Trump had shaky hands that day,
no,
nothing would have happened.
Trump is funny though. Trump is funny. So
yeah,
Trump, he can do that.
He's charismatic.
He can own a
he definitely has charisma.
Yeah.
Last question.
A dictator has to have charisma.
Of course. 101.
Definitely. The last question I had was they Peru is the number two copper country in the world, like producer of copper.
Ooh.
And I read that mostly it's the indigenous people who work in the copper mines, and the indigenous people today have decided to go. Today is Monday, where this will come out tomorrow, but have decided to go on a general strike until something happens with the government. I don't know what it is. They want him back in power or something, but they're going to stop producing.
No, not that. I mean, the thing is that Peru is a very, mining is our main economic activity. So, but at every moment, at all times in Peru, we have like around 20 social conflicts. We call it, we have like around the country. All the time, we have like around 20 protests or strikes.
Yeah,
yeah, they're all going on all the time. So, yeah, now it's a pretty big one. And basically, they are demanding for... The thing is that this guy, yeah, okay, he was corrupted and everything, but many people felt represented by him because he was a person from the fields, and he was like a rural teacher and all of that. So... Even though he wasn't doing anything for those people, because he wasn't at all, now that the people that they always seen as the enemy are acting as if they won something. Because you have Congress now acting like if they were the heroes, they just beat communism, they overthrew the president that was corrupt. It's like all is well in Peru now. So, yeah, and that's obviously not going to last. When they were asking the chief of staff from Dina Boluarte now about this protest, he said, like, no, this is just the continuance of the coup. This is like the echoes of the coup. And it's like, no, these people have real demands. That's why they put this guy in power. So I don't know what's going to happen, but Peru is a pretty problematic country. So... I mean, it's not like you can point out to a solution. So,
okay.
Last question for me. Did anybody listen? Like when he made all those calls, police officer, chief, did anybody say, all right, I'm going to do what he say? And it was like one guy who was
basically former chief of staff and the new chief of staff that are all, both of them are crazy. And I mean, the guy who would praise Hitler publicly and a woman who replaced them, and that she was also very confrontational. She really wanted to close the Congress like from day one. So I think the thing is that this guy, he's dumb. I don't think he's completely like evil, if you could say such a thing about a person, but he's just like, he's very stupid. So, and he was not ready for this. And so I guess he surrounded himself with people that would say like, yes, Mr. President, you're right, Mr. President. And they just took that fantasy too far.
Yeah. That's must be a surreal thing to have your country. You turn on TV one day and the guy, your president's declaring a coup and you're not even afraid because you know it's not going to take.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so used to this.
I don't know.
You get so used to this.
All right. Well, that's it, everybody. That is the show. Jaime Ferraro, thanks for doing it. Everybody follow him on all social media. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. Check him out on Instagram. Check him out on TikTok. You all speak Spanish. We have our audience. We have a smart audience. They speak Spanish. So they're going to subscribe. And Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
And well, first off, I've had six presidents in 5 years, so I'm excited. I know Jaime's going to be back. So thanks again. We'll see you soon, I'm sure. In the meantime, let's get lost.
Get lost!
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.